This is the audio description recording of the Botticelli exhibit at the Muscarelli Museum in Williamsburg, Virginia, adapted to read to Virginia Voice by Shirley Canifo Rader. I'm Katie Hennekins.
And I'm Thomas Cunningham.
And we will be your readers. First, an introduction. Botticelli, Florence, 1446 to 1510. The Renaissance. The transitional movement in Europe between medieval and modern times, beginning in the 14th century in Italy, lasting into the 17th century, is marked by a humanistic revival of classical influence, expressed in a flowering of the arts and literature, and by the beginnings of modern science. Born in Italy, the Renaissance inspired a new breed of European thinker, whose interest in the divine letters of the Bible expanded to include the humane letters, history, literature, and philosophy of the pagan past. Artists also embraced this new humanist approach, not only depicting classical themes, but also forging a new style inspired by the harmony and balance of classical art. This style bloomed in the early 16th century with the high Renaissance masterpieces of Leonardo da Vinci, Raphael, and Michelangelo, and it quickly spread throughout Europe. At the height of his fame, the Florentine painter and draughtsman Sandro Botticelli was one of the most esteemed, influential artists in Italy in developing the new Renaissance style. His graceful pictures of the Madonna and Child, his altarpieces, and his life-size mythological paintings were immensely popular in his lifetime. The son of a tanner, he was born Alessandro di Mariano Filippi, but he was given the nickname Botticelli, derived from the word botticello, meaning small wine cask or barrel. Smart beyond his years, the young Botticelli became easily bored at school. He was known for his sharp wit and his love of practical jokes, and he quickly earned a reputation as a restless, hyperactive, and impatient child. Fortunately, his precocious talent was recognized, and he was withdrawn from school and sent to work as an apprentice. It is thought that Botticelli first trained with a goldsmith before entering the studio of the artist Fra Filippo Lippi. He began his career painting frescoes for Florentine churches and cathedrals, and worked with the painter and engraver Antonio di Paolo. By 1470, he had his own workshop, and in 1472, he joined the Compagnia di San Luca, the confraternity of Florentine painters. Botticelli's apprenticeship with Lippi led him to the leading Medici family, and then to their friends, with whom he spent almost his entire life working, doing his most ambitious secular paintings. He was also summoned by the Pope to Rome to decorate the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican and to complete several papal portraits. This was the only time he painted outside of Florence. Mythology. Botticelli's work in Florence from 1478 to 1490 was his most creative period, using mythological subjects, combining elements of the decorative line that he might have learned from his training with the goldsmith, with the classical tradition in his composition and contours of his figures. The 1490s was a turbulent decade. During the last 15 years of his life, Botticelli's work appeared to undergo a crisis of style and expression. It was at that time Botticelli became a follower of the fanatical Dominican friar Savonarola, and the pious sentiment of his later works would seem to suggest some involvement in the religious and political upheavals in Florence at the time. Girolamo Savonarola, an Italian friar and preacher of fundamentalist ideas regarding politics and religious art, had considerable influence on Florence. Savonarola condemned the worldly character of religious paintings and criticized artists for using identifiable people as models for holy figures. He complained that the images in the churches of the Virgin, St. Elizabeth, and the Magdalene were painted like nymphs in the likenesses of the young women of Florence, and he urged everyone to burn their copies of all lascivious paintings, as well as their cosmetics, wigs, playing cards, and books, and the infamous Bonfire of the Vanities. There is no doubt that Botticelli's mythical paintings would have been viewed as lascivious by Savonarola, particularly the Birth of Venus, which was the first painting of a classical female nude since antiquity. According to his biography for Vasari, Botticelli was affected by the teachings of Savonarola and reportedly threw some of his own paintings into the flames. Botticelli never again painted mythical subjects. He rejected the ornamental charm of his earlier work in favor of a more simplistic approach that seemed crude and heavy-handed in contrast. These later paintings, with their deep moral and religious overtones, also suffered in comparison with the sophisticated aesthetics of artists such as Michelangelo and Raphael. Botticelli became melancholic and depressed. He never wed and expressed a strong aversion to the idea of marriage, a prospect he claimed gave him nightmares. Having always been known for his high spirit and quick wit, the image of Botticelli's final years as a rapid decline into poverty, isolation, and mental anguish is a poignant one. After his death, his name all but disappeared until the 19th century, when a developing appreciation for Florentine arts and culture brought about a renewed interest in his work. We will take a tour today of each era of Botticelli's work, starting with his early 1465 Madonna and Child, and ending with his renowned Venus, Birth of Venus, and Primavera. The latter two not part of the Botticelli show at the Muscarelli, but the most familiar and exalted. We hope you will enjoy your journey.
Some notes about Botticelli's colors and panel work. Botticelli's panel work, like most Italian panels of the period, was poplar, coated with gesso. On this, the contours of the figures were established by a careful underdrawing in charcoal, done freehand without a cartoon, and incised lines made with a stylus indicated the architectural features. Botticelli then laid the foundation colors, which are varied according to the area of the finished painting. White lead, or the unprimed gesso, provided a base for the flesh tones, carbon black or malachite for the trees and landscape. Then, in one of his few innovations, he made a second preparatory drawing in black ink and washed and applied with a brush, resetting the contours and giving his figures body and weight through modeling the lights and shadows. Many pentiments, or changes, occur at this stage, notably in the placement of the hands and feet, indicating the importance to Botticelli of gestural expressiveness and graceful movement. Though these underdrawings are clearly defined, they do not extend to broad areas of sky and landscape background, a phenomenon that led Leonardo to charge that Botticelli was indifferent to such things. Colors. Botticelli's pigments were of the finest of his time, including malachite, verdigris, or copper green, ultramarine, cinnabar, red, white, and yellow lead, red lake, and carbon black. Generally, they were applied in thin, opaque layers known as scumbles, but the reds and dark greens were frequently glazed. As the painting was built up, it gradually acquired a compact density, producing an exquisite enameled effect composed of infinite tonal gradations that create an extraordinary luminous subtlety, especially in areas representing reflected light. Unfortunately, many of Botticelli's paintings have lost the fullness of their beauty with the passage of time, sometimes owing to abrasion or overzealous restoration, sometimes to the tendency of colors to become more transparent or to change their nature over the years. Copper resinate, for example, which Botticelli employed extensively, turns from green to brown, resulting not only in an irreversible chromatic change, but also in excessive contrast and loss of luministic gradation. An example appears in the green vestment worn by St. Augustine in the St. Marco Coronation of the Virgin, where the copper resinate glazed over the malachite has permanently darkened, which flattens the voluminous effect of the garment. Another example is in the Primavera, in which the bright white of the Grace's gowns is permanently out of balance, with the darkened greenery behind.
Our first of Botticelli's paintings is Madonna and Child with an Angel, 1465. The style is early Renaissance. Tempera on wood panel. The genre is religious painting, and it's located in Florence, Museo delle Innocenti. Botticelli's captivating figures of women, his intimate portrayals of the Madonna and Child, and the angelic beauty of his adolescence are famous the world over today. This painting, one of Botticelli's earliest, reveals Botticelli's close artistic relationship with his teacher, Filippo Lippi, and is modeled on the latter's The Virgin and Child with Two Angels, which we will discuss later. It is possible that this painting of the Madonna was produced while Botticelli was still working in the workshop with his teacher. The initial inspiration for the painting came from the latter's Madonna of the Uffizi. Botticelli created an arched architecture that allows the viewer to see beyond the figures into the open expanse of the distant sky while framing the heads of the mother and child and angel, emphasizing the figures as the center of the devotional scene. The space encloses the three figures within the room and closer to the viewer. The Madonna is seated to the viewer's left. The child is held by an angel on the viewer's right. There is an emotional connection as the mother is reaching and holding the Christ child, suggesting an intimacy and spiritual reality. There are halos over each figure that are simple filled circles. Mary's hair is shown pulled away from her face and is covered with a simple pleated cloth. The child and angel have curly short hair. The child is looking at his mother, and the angel is looking at us, the viewer, including us in this scene of intimacy and love. Botticelli's use of rich and vibrant colors in Madonna's gown and golden flesh tones and the emphasis on linear modeling are characteristics of Botticelli's. At this point, he has developed his own unique style. Although many of the artistic elements and stylistic techniques that came to be the hallmarks of the Italian Renaissance painting are present in this work, echoes of the Middle Ages and the Gothic style are also present. Botticelli's mature style is beginning to emerge in this 1468 painting, most notably in the fuller and more weighted appearance of the figures in the painting. Paintings in statuary from the Middle Ages, representing the human figure, have an appearance so willowy and thin that they almost appear weightless and floating. Botticelli has managed to retain the somewhat mystical and ephemeral quality of Gothic art, while creating the more realistic style of portraiture painting that emerges in the Renaissance. Botticelli's use of color also belies his apprenticeship under the early Renaissance painter Fra Lippi, whose own use of color tended to be somewhat modest and almost muted compared with later Renaissance artists. The rich and vibrant colors of the Madonna's gown and cloak, as well as the golden-hued flesh tones in the figures, stand in contrast to the pigments of his teacher's paintings. Also emerging as part of Botticelli's own unique style is the use of a sort of mystical symbolism that can be seen throughout the religious paintings that form so much of his life's work. The angel looks on as a child plays with a crown of thorns. The Madonna looks thoughtful, even sad rather than joyous, as if she can see into the Christ child's future and violent death on the cross. The Madonna and Child with Angel, although an earlier work, establishes the stylistic techniques that usher in the Renaissance. This early work illustrates the transition from the Middle Ages to the revolutionary approach of the Renaissance and secures Botticelli's place as one of its founding artists.
The second work on our tour, Madonna of the Loggia, now known as Madonna and Child. The artist, Sandro Botticelli. The date, 1467. Style, early Renaissance. Tempera on wood panel, the genre, religious painting. Found in Florence at the Uffizi Gallery. This is from early in Botticelli's career. Madonna della Loggia, the Madonna and Child, is a work that sets the tone of the early Renaissance drawn by Botticelli in 1467 to 1468. The work displays many of the defining aspects of Christian art that sought to highlight the major characters of the Christian faith and tell their story in a time when illiteracy was high. This work symbolizes the early linear perfection of this period, in which both the artist seeks to perpetuate the beauty of not only Mary, the mother of Jesus, but also reflects the beauty of the new age that was dawning upon Europe as a whole. Within the painting, there are a number of key attributes which define the symbolism of the painting. There are two figures on the panel. Mary is on the right. Jesus is being held closely by her on the left. Her left hand and arm and her right hand is surrounding him. The way that the Madonna is holding the child is one of the most direct symbols. Jesus is looking directly at Mary. His right hand gently touches her shoulder near her neck. Madonna's eyes glance not on him, but downward. The hands symbolize a firmness and confidence, but also a love of the child and his mother. The secondary element of this is that it shows the Madonna looking down, and this can be interpreted as having a tone of love for all humanity as a whole, considering them all to be her children. Another clear aspect of this painting can be found in the structure of the pillars behind the two figures. They symbolize key elements of the Renaissance period in that they show the early Greco-Roman architectural design. The simple designed columns form an arch that leads the viewer beyond them into the landscape. This is showing the desire of many of this period to recover the lost learning of this age. Within the religious context, it shows the solid foundations of the Christian faith and the strong pillars of which it is built upon. This painting is colored in quiet echoes of stillness, love, and humility. The Madonna would go on to become a defining basis of Botticelli's later work, which includes such work as the Madonna of the Book, painted in 1483, that we will discuss further on in this tour.
We now come to the Madonna of the Book. The third stop on our tour is the Virgin and Child, now known as Madonna of the Book, painted by Botticelli, tempera on wood panel. The style is early Renaissance, and it can be found in the Milano Museo Poldi Pizzoli. The Madonna of the Book is a soft and elegant work, in which Mary and the Child are seated by a window in the corner of a room. She holds a book of hours, the Ore Beate Mariae Virginis, prayer book for laymen common in the 13th to 16th centuries. The infant is gazing at his mother, while she is absorbed in reading the book. The hands of both mother and son are positioned similarly, with the right hands open, as in a gesture of blessing, and left hands closed. The light hair color and their faces are similar. Known also as the Virgin and Child, this painting represents the Virgin and Child in a domestic setting, intent on reading the book in front of an open window, bringing in the landscape at twilight. But the diffused light, which transforms the space into a mystical setting, seems to emanate from the figures themselves. The pyramid-like layout of the two sacred figures feeds the perception of an absolutely perfect moment. Their hair color and faces are similar. Symbolizing the passion of Christ, the Christ child is holding three nails of the cross and the crown of thorns in his left hand. The nails and the crown are painted in soft and golden colors, rather than the harsh colors that they were in reality. This could remind us that authentic love is refined in the fire of sacrifice and is truly purified like refined gold. These are probably later additions added to make the message more explicit. This is the conventional representation in the Christian iconography. The ensemble of boxes and the addition, the fruit in the bowl on the table behind Christ, has an emblematic meaning. The cherries represent the blood of Christ and are an allusion to paradise. The plums indicate the tenderness between Mary and the child, and the figs are characteristic of the resurrection. Mary's blue robe, a color she is often depicted wearing, has the symbolic meaning of divine wisdom and contemplations, purity of the soul, heaven, and royalty. In this painting, as in Botticelli's other large series, the Madonna is portrayed as being serious, thoughtful, and focused. Botticelli interprets the scene with a sensitivity and love for small details. The set of boxes and the bowl of lush fruits are depicted as a still life. The pages of the book, the garments, and the transparent veils exhibit a realistic tactile quality. The composition is refined with a good balance. Botticelli painted with subtle differences in color, and he was able to put colors together so that they complement each other. The painting is adorned with gold filigree, decorating the colors and objects. The use of gold was the result of the contractual agreement he made with the commissioner, which was included in the price of the painting. The color feels like a coin that is cool to the touch. Mary's robe is soft and flowing like a piece of silk. Her headscarf is wrapped around the top of her hair. It is soft as her robes and falls onto the child's lap, wrapping around his upper legs. Mary's hair is long and falls onto her shoulders. Dating from about 1480, the painting shows all the elements of Botticelli's mature poetic style: a delicate, elegant linearity, a style which is still far from the intense pathos of his late work. The interrelationship of light, shapes, and voids confers an ethereal quality to the work. A recent restoration revealed a luminescent sky and a bright morning aura which had been obscured by layers of century-old varnish.
Our fourth portrait today, the portrait of a young man wearing a masocchio, a coronet or cap, from 1470. Sandro Botticelli, tempera on wood panel, found in the Florence Galleria Palatine, Palazzo Pitti. Botticelli's late portraits revealed the stylistic change in his work. Now he no longer added landscape vistas or the view of inner rooms as he had done in his earlier portraits. Instead, he reduced the background to a surface of one color alone, in order that the observer's attention is not distracted from the depicted person. This reductive manner of painting, sometimes almost aesthetic in its effect, reflects Botticelli's breaking away from the sumptuously ornamented, decorative style in which he previously treated his pictorial subjects. This is one of the first known three-quarters portraits in Western European art. The new, ambitious form of portrait did not become widespread in Florence until about 1470. The identity of this young man with a cool, piercing gaze is unknown. In a three-quarter portrait, he is looking at us without expression. Maybe his hat is too heavy for him to smile. Botticelli has portrayed him in the distinctive hat and cloak worn by gentlemen of the leading Florentine families in the 15th century. The masocchio hat consisted of a circle of folded fabric on the head and a long strip of the same fabric, called a tippet or a becchettio, resting on the shoulders like a scarf. The youth is viewed in a narrow frame, giving prominence to the head and an almost uncomfortable intensity to his self-confident gaze. Although closely following Filippo Lippi in his attention to the soft features of the face, Botticelli breaks with the earlier tradition of portraiture and invents a portrait in which the sitter challenges his audience. In Botticelli's century, portraits became one of the preferred decorations in the palaces of Florence. Botticelli was the first important Florentine painter to specialize in portraits, primarily concentrating on the sitter's face, as in the present. The greatness of Botticelli's portraits derives from their keen attention to the sitter's individuality. The masocchio, a large circular hat that consists of at least 10 yards of fabric, wrapped around in a circular form, and sits on the head. It was part of the 15th century Italian headgear. It seems to have normally been a single color at this period. A silk or damask, one would have been conspicuous in their signs of influence and affluence. In addition to being featured in many Renaissance portraits by virtue of being the fashion of the day, the Italian head covering was of interest because the masocchio's shape made a good subject for the developing art of perspective. It was also a kind of final exam problem for students of perspective. An example of the masocchio is in the early French version of the fairy tale Little Red Riding Hood, where she wears the masocchio, called a chaperon, instead of the long riding hood, as we find in the English version. By the middle of the 15th century, the evolved masocchio had become common headwear for males of the upper and middle classes, and were worn in painted portraits. The correct attribution to Botticelli was first advanced in 1891, but was not widely accepted due to its damaged condition. The painting has very recently been successfully restored, and Lippi's lingering influence is now readily apparent.
Next on our tour, we come to the painting St. Augustine in His Study. This is a fresco, 60 inches by 44 inches, completed in 1480. It can be found in Florence in the Church of the Ognissanti, Church of All Saints. The St. Augustine painting was Botticelli's first major fresco. The Medici family commissioned it in 1480. The painting of St. Augustine was set in the Church of the Ognissanti and was painted in the choir area of the church. On the opposite side of the choir area was another painting, St. Jerome in His Study, painted by Domenico Ghirlandaio. Botticelli spent a great deal of time working on this painting, wanting to rise above any other painter of his time. St. Augustine, also called St. Augustine of Hippo, was born in 354 in what is now called Souk Arras, Algeria, and he died in 430. He was Bishop of Hippo from 396 to 430, and perhaps was one of the most significant Christian thinkers. Augustine's adaptation of classical thought to Christian thinking created a theological system of great power and lasting influence. His numerous written works shaped the practice of biblical interpretation and helped lay the foundation for much medieval thought and modern Christian thought. Botticelli was pleased with the outcome of his work. He showed St. Augustine's expression. It is one deep in thought. It resembles people at that time who have put a great amount of consideration into their work. St. Augustine also represented a conflict that occurred during the Renaissance period. The complex question was, did intellectual knowledge of God lead to understanding him, or did a person need to experience a mystical revelation from God to understand Christianity? In this painting, St. Augustine of Hippo is in his study, in the midst of writing a letter to St. Jerome. The light is coming from the left, and he is surrounded by his books and his tools of learning, looking up and out toward the viewer's left side, trying to receive light from a spiritual vision of God. He clearly wants to understand and is trying to find answers. In his study, there are a number of objects which mark him as a precursor to humanism. Among these is an armillary sphere, the oldest known astronomical instrument. It consisted essentially of a skeletal celestial globe whose rings represent the great circles of the heaven and a clock that is set to the 24 hours, midnight. The lines in the book sitting over the saint's head are mostly meaningless, apart from a line which reads, Dove frate Martino? È scappato? E dove è andato? E fuori dallo Porto Prato? Where is Fra Martino? He fled. And where did he go? He is outside Porto al Prato. Probably referring to one of the escapades of one of the monks from the church's convent outside the gates of Florence. St. Augustine is wearing a long red cloak, covering a lightly colored white long undergarment with long sleeves. The long cloak is puddled into folds on the floor beneath him. He has a mustache and a short beard, and his hair is curly. He is sitting at a round table covered with a cloth that is fringed, facing to the left, looking past what looks like his writing tablet. Behind him are books, maps, the armillary sphere, a clock, and other items. On his desk is a miniature cabinet with an open drawer that might hold his writing tools. A book rests, and his mitre, an ornamented pointed hat with stones and gold trim that is worn by bishops. He has been writing, but has stopped. His eyebrows are furrowed as in deep thought. His right hand is on his heart. He looks concerned. The coat of arms is visible in the upper part of the painting. It's from the Vespucci family. It has been supposed that this picture was commissioned by Amerigo Vespucci's father. Amerigo Vespucci, of course, is the navigator in whose honor America is named. The fresco in which this painting is found is home to the tombs of the Vespucci family.
That concludes part one of our tour. Stay tuned next week for part two.